Hello and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast special.
Yeah.
From the Bristol.
Very special.
Very special indeed, because we're actually in the same room today.
Yeah.
It's the Bristol Comics Expo special.
It's nice, isn't it?
We're all set up. We've got two tables, one for my good self and one...
It's just opened, 5 past 10.
It has just opened.
Yeah.
So we're getting an intro in before we get inundated with people saying hello and buying all our stuff.
Yeah.
And talking to Tony, because everyone...
People are late, what's he doing?
Everyone wants to talk to Tony. That's
don't
what we've
they
learned.
Don't, do they?
They will be, but whether they like it or not by the end of the day. We've already been round and bought lots of bargains.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
But we'll bore you with that when we do a proper show.
Yeah.
So for the next... however long this is, however many we can be...
How many interviews are we going to do?
Who knows?
Let's limit ourselves to two.
The world is... So this is going to be a show that's basically just clips of us talking to each other.
If someone comes over for an interview and we don't like them, what are we going to do?
Do
you have a word?
What word should it be?
Ecclesiastical.
I can't say that. Can't just be something like bungle?
Bungle. Okay, so if someone comes over, we don't like them, fucking hell.
Oh, God. Darth Vader's here. See you later, folks.
Bungle. There you go.
Oh, right.
So, don't put me off already.
It's one button, aren't there?
So, Bristol has just started, and we've got our first comic interview of the day. And it's not someone who's actually exhibiting here, is it? It's just
some bloke who wandered past.
No, we've got a comic creator who's come here in a rare appearance as a punter. We've got Sam Webster here from Joe Cape and a forthcoming...
Unfamiliar Skies.
There you go.
Forget the name of the book. That's a good start, isn't it? Yeah.
No. Oh.
We're just being professional now.
You see, everyone that knows me picks on me. But you've just got here, but how have you found the sort of layout of the land so far?
This room's all right. The room you're in, for those listening.
It's because we're in it.
Oh, yeah, it's partly that. This is the biggest room. There's a fair bit of floor space. It's all right. Bit hidden. You have to, because the flow is, you come upstairs to the registration desk, and then this room's behind you, so all the other rooms are in front.
We're always behind you.
Yeah, I know. It's a point that restraining order, actually. You are in violation of that.
Yeah. And thank you for buying my comic.
Welcome.
But Unfamiliar Skies, which is congratulations on the Kickstarter. It's looking great.
Yeah.
How do you tell us a little bit about that?
Right, this is basically your pitch, isn't it?
Keep it short.
Right, so it stars Clarice Musson, 19-year-old rebellious teenage girl. She's born into a self-sustaining space colony. Essentially, we realise it's going to take several thousand light years to get somewhere. So even if we travel at light speed, that's several thousand years. So we send up one group, and it's their great-great-great-great-grandkids will actually explore the planet kind of deal. And she's not happy with that. She feels her fate's been decided for her. She didn't ask for that future. So she does what any 19-year-old does and says, sod this, seals a scout ship, blasts off into space.
It's a lot more sort of in-depth in the comic book, though, isn't it? She doesn't just go, sod this.
Well, do you? When the comic starts, issue one, she's already said sod this. She's already in space at that point.
We're missing the sod this.
Yeah. The sod this is implied.
Yeah. Post-sod this.
Yes. She's at the point of, oh, crap, I didn't really have a plan after that. Which, I mean, I did this silly runaway from home thing when I was about 12, 13. And I was sort of sat there about 10 o'clock at night trying to sleep on a bench outside of Sainsbury's going... This is a bit shit, really. I've not.
We've all done that.
You never have suspected that was the autobiographical comic that you'd done there.
Well, as you know from a previous show, I was in space.
It's true. But where can people go to find out more about it?
SJWebster.net is my website. At SJWebsterArt is the Twitter handle. Facebook.com/SJWebsterArt is the very consistent Facebook handle. The website needs an update. It's just been on Kickstarter, successfully funded.
So if you search Unfamiliar Skies on Kickstarter, you'll find the successful Kickstarter.
You will.
Those things are getting rarer these days, so well done.
Yeah. I do have an Etsy, but I'm thinking of switching to Big Cartel, because everyone else has made the switch, and I'm thinking...
I will at one point.
Yeah. Well, you know when everyone does something, you're like, did they just know something that I don't know?
Like anal.
he'll say it every chance he gets. But you're going to be launching this at Melksham Con.
Melksham Comic Con, 27th, 28th of August.
Brilliant.
You'll be there.
I will be there.
Yeah.
The Awesome Pod will be there. So we will talk to you on the day again.
Yes.
So in a matter of months, and we'll probably get you as a proper
guest. A matter of months? It's 3 weeks away.
Look, when I'm at a convention, time and space ceases to exist.
All right.
But I'm ever so glad I managed to see you.
Same here. I got to say as well, doing it as a punter is very different because you can take in, what are other people's sales strategies? What do they do and how are they laid out their table? It works. It works.
Oh, thank you.
It's all right. You actually...
I actually know what I'm doing.
No, I was going to say, you actually smile, which probably subverts people's expectations.
Right, that was Sam Webster. He's going to piss off now.
Have you ever seen Sonya live?
I haven't.
No, I'd like to see it live. Have you ever seen it live? Sonya, the singer from Stock Aitken and Waterman. What are their favourite songs?
I can't remember now.
Years ago. Making me feel old.
She's
still alive.
If you went on a date...
Sure?
She's on the post or anything. If you went on a date with Sonya, where would you go? Where would be the best place?
Nando's? Are you implying I've got chicken legs or something?
Yeah, chicken of the caves. I'm here with... Can you see Gronje
McEntee?
Hey, look at that. Sorry, I didn't say it properly on the podcast.
That's all right. I was flattered you even tried.
And you are the co-writer or just the writer?
Some would say co-creator with Matt.
Yeah.
And
who's your better half?
Who's my better half?
Yep.
Absolutely better half.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I do write and Matt does the drawing and... Cool. Never the twain shall meet.
Now, we wondered how the dynamic worked. So, on the way back from Lidl, do you ever, argue about it? So, for example, you've had a bit of an argument in the supermarket,
mm-hmm.
who's pushing the trolley or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And do you get back and write him a crowd scene just to wind him up?
The thought had crossed my mind. So, when we first started doing Apes, that was definitely a deciding factor in
how
the art...
wrote, yeah.
How the art
yeah.
channeled through.
Do you ever, write a character called Matt who dies horribly and just show it to him?
That's a great idea
threat,
for
an
next one. Stop writing my stuff, Toby, for God's sake.
How did the idea come about?
Well,
actually lovely. I absolutely loved it. I think it's
I'm
the
really
best thing we've done.
Liked
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
To be fair, I really did bite off more than I could chew with Apes and Capes because I just finished reading Arthur C. Clarke's Rama and I got really excited about world building in space and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
was an inspiration behind
Rendezvous that. Rendezvous with Rama?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I thought this is amazing and I can tie it up with my orangutan conservation work, etc.
Which
Matt,
is
Matt
what you do for a day job, isn't
yes.
it? So
yeah.
monkeys in the day, monkeys at night.
Yes. I know,
apes,
I can't
apes.
Get enough of those hairy ass apes.
Is that why you're doing an interview with him?
Yeah.
He with him watching. That's the reason, isn't it? So you've done quite a few with monkeys and stuff, haven't you? And
yes.
apes and stuff. And then you decided to do a James Bond. How did that come about?
Well,
did you
I'm
like the James Bond film?
Huge
or?
Fan of
oh, yeah,
the
okay.
genre. And I think
Roger Moore probably being the best one or
I would say Timothy Dalton for me.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I liked being a bit.
Yeah, yeah,
off
let's
left
be a bit
field.
Different. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, you could have been Jimmy Bond. Who was that? It was Woody Allen, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot
yeah,
about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and the guy from Casino Royale.
Okay, here's a trivia quiz question for you being a James Bond. Who was the first person, and I've just discovered I don't know the answer to this, who was the first person ever to play James Bond?
I'm going to say David Niven.
No, who's?
Bob Holness.
Bob Holness. It was Bob Holness who was the first person. Because...
yeah.
Pop father.
So useful.
He did because he played him on the radio.
Now that you say that, yeah, I should
yeah,
remember
yeah, we should
that.
Know that, shouldn't we?
You trumped me again, damn you.
So you decided because you're a big fan.
Yeah.
yeah. Let's translate it into.
Yeah.
What kind of ape is Bubbles 07?
He's a bonobo.
Right. Okay.
So he is indigenous to the Democratic Republic of Congo.
is that the country that doesn't have a capital city?
Oh God, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. No. Someone told me that once.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I know yeah. it's a hotbed of political unrest and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
which is trouble for the monkeys.
Yeah,
have you ever been out there?
No. I've
okay.
been to Borneo, obviously, for,
okay.
the, for the orangutans, but not to Africa.
Cool. So you decided to write a Bond thing?
Yep.
So did you write it from scratch and then give it to Matt, or what happened?
We talked about it for a long time, so there was 6 months of just discussing ideas and laying out groundwork and characters and all that sort of thing. And everything was really born from the Bond franchise. I have to give them the credit for that. But I'd read a bit of Jean Le Carre, so he's okay. The serious Bond, and yeah. I just wanted
he's
it to
like
be
the old
fun.
School when spies just didn't go around hitting people. They
exactly.
A little bit, yeah, I get you. Yeah,
I think Le Carre actually referred to Bond as an international thug in one
right,
of his interviews.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
But that's how Craig plays him, isn't it? I think.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got less refined as time has gone on, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. So how far into it are you now written ahead?
I'm now on episode 3. Lee okay. Killeen is drawing episode 2 for me.
Which is the guy who does... Is he the cover artist for that one?
No, that
he
was
He does the
Simone.
Poster in the back, doesn't he? Yeah, the pin-up.
He did the layouts for
oh,
it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And he did the poster on the back, Andy Clift.
Yeah. The Clift, yeah,
yes.
We love the Clift.
We love the Clift. We now, also, as we affectionately call
it. Did you write your husband into the first page?
Actually, no.
Right.
Originally, he modelled it on himself, but actually the inspiration was Ian Redmond, who is a conservationist, a gorilla conservationist who worked with Diane Fossey.
Oh, okay, Gorillas in the Mist.
Yes, yeah, Sigourney Weaver okay. During her filming of Gorillas in the Mist.
I know, it's horrible that we only remember her because of Sigourney Weaver, isn't
I know.
It? I know, yeah, okay. Yeah. I was being lowbrow idiot, but yeah, I know, yeah, I'm not a monkey
popular
expert,
culture,
but yeah, there you
just,
go,
that's...
yeah, okay. So you've written up to issue 3, and it's, what is it, a 5 issue, is it?
8.
8, oh
yes.
Wow, that's quite quite brave, do you think?
No, because right. I think you can get away with a lot when you're basing it on Bond. There's just so much madness going on, and plot holes and all that kind of stuff. So as long, I just wanted it to be fun, really, and not
okay.
too serious. There's obviously a serious element to it with the research thing going on in
yeah.
the background as a side story. But in the sense that he's a dark and a light character, just like Bond is.
Yeah,
so.
No, I really loved it. I'll say, mate, really, really good. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, very impressed. I've got you a little present actually, because
really?
You're a guest. I've got you Valiant from 1969, and it's monkeys riding dogs, but they're horses. I got you that as a present. That's quite generous of me, isn't it?
Is this
£1.25?
You are.
I think if you read it, it'll fall apart. But I like the cover. It reminded me of
I
your.
I think I owe you dinner for that.
I think so. Look
yeah.
at that.
Look at that. You can't go back now. It's
she bought me a bag of biscuits. You can get them for 99p. Yeah, that's cool. They're like monkeys, just for the
yeah.
listeners. They're dressed like jockeys and they're riding greyhounds.
Yeah.
I think that's cruelty to animals.
On both counts, I would
yeah.
say.
But that was the '60s for you.
You know, cruelty all around,
certain
really.
Things
the 60s.
Were allowed, weren't they, back
yeah.
then?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was born in 1968, so it's actually 4 months after I was born. That's cool.
You shouldn't have admitted that. I would have put you at least 10 years younger.
I know, yeah. Think of identity theft, that's what we say. Thank you. All
so
right,
is
darling.
This the one I have to review for my next podcast, is it?
Oh, that'd be good, yeah, when you come on, let's do that. Let's
damn
do Valiant. Yeah. Thanks, mate. That's brilliant.
Tony, pleasure.
I'm here with Mark from Hellbound Media.
Hello.
Just around the corner from us. At Bristol Expo. How is your day going so far, sir?
Very good, actually. Excellent.
Very good.
Yeah, we're really
You're a very
happy.
Positive man, aren't you?
I am very positive. Actually, I'm a cynical git, but I try to be positive yeah. when at Comic Cons. No, I mean, you know, Bristol went away last year. It had a bit of a bad ending, having been a really huge con before. Yeah. But this feels like a really good resurrection. It's small, but it's a first step to hopefully...
There's a good atmosphere going on, isn't there? Lots of great books and creators about.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
your good selves. Like, what do you have here today?
What do we have here? Well, we've got our newest book, The Disease, given this wonderful review by...
On the Awesome Comics podcast. You should check out the review. It's amazing. I did it.
He's right. Also, Sci-Fi Bulletin gave us a great review, which
oh, nice.
Which was very cool and unexpected. So we've got that, our first full-colour book.
How is that going since it's actually been released properly?
Very well, so far. It's a lot of positive. A lot of people, even just coming and looking, it instantly grabs people's attention. So yeah. really happy with how that book's going, actually.
Yeah.
Wait. No, there's no tannoy here today, so that's excellent.
Oh, yes, the classic tannoy. I can actually talk to you properly without any interruption.
I know, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, also we got our Mandy books, obviously, and Mandy Book of Monsters, again, is probably our most successful book we've done. You know, we're actually on its second printing already.
That's the one that out of all your titles, that's almost your franchise, isn't it? Man, if you could say that Hellbound Media has a title sort of character, Mandy the Monster Hunter is that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just because the idea's taken off, we've got a lot of scope with it. I mean,
for those that don't know, what is Mandy the Monster Hunter?
Mandy the Monster Hunter is a monster hunter who works for children. Okay, so if there's a monster under the bed or in the closet, basically a kid draws a picture of that monster, and the picture will find its way to Mandy's, you know, however, through various methods. And then Mandy goes and helps her. She wears armour made of bits of monster that she constantly customises from different creatures that she defeats. And yeah, so she's like this playground urban legend, you know, whispered about.
Yeah, she's got a bit of attitude and, like, you know, she's pretty kick-ass sort of heroine, isn't she?
Yeah, a couple of swords as well. Always like
always
a couple
cool,
of swords.
Always good. Who doesn't love two swords? Lovely. Right,
exactly.
So, what? How do you find that horror comics, because Hellbound Media, let's make no bones about it, Hellbound Media is quite horror-centric.
Yep.
God bless you, because I love horror. How do you find that horror does at like a more, like a general overall comic convention sort of thing, rather than a horror convention?
Actually, rather well. I think one of the aspects is if it's different.
Yeah.
So it stands out amongst all the you know, superheroes and various things, having the horror things. And because we have the range where we say horror, obviously, Mandy the Monster Hunter is more a dark fantasy take to it. So what we try to do is have horror for all ages, from young readers to old readers, you know, from, as we say, you know, sort of Buffy level to Ban This Filth.
That's quite a range.
No, when I say ban this filth, I mean this podcast is filth and we should ban it. But
it is something that's quite strikingly different from all the superhero books and everything that you see everywhere, isn't it? So you kind of have a standout wherever you go, don't you?
That's sort of our aim, yeah. We try and have something what works for the audience, and we emphasise, for instance, we're doing Melksham Comic Con at the end of this month, and we are planning to really sort of push the Mandy more, because it's much more friendly, family-friendly orientated event, whereas something maybe more horror-orientated, like Bristol Horror Con, we obviously push the nastier stuff.
The nastier stuff, yeah. So where can people go to find out more about the books?
Ooh.
Apart from the conventions.
Our website, our Facebook website, hellboundmedia.co.uk, or find us on Facebook/hellboundmedia. And there better be a link below this podcast. If there isn't, I will string.
There will be. Whoever does the links, we'll sort that out.
Good. Because I'd hate to have to inflict permanent damage.
I'm being threatened, folks. I'm being threatened. Thanks for talking to us, Mark. It's been brilliant.
It's been a pleasure.
I won't go that far.
Right. I'm here with Brett. It's Uren.
Uren.
Okay. Here with Brett Uren, who's about to launch Kickstarter for the third issue of Torso Bit.
Beginning of September.
What sort of thing have you got? Who's in it this time? Have you got any plans for it?
We've got a couple of new artists switched it up. Most of the writers, like Cy Death and Frank Martin, are returning to sort of tie up their characters. But a few new artists, like Yen Crutch, she's been working on some... assistant on some Vertigo titles, and she's an incredible watercolour type artist. You know, she's it's a lot more like Giles Crawford or Saoirse Towler's work from the first couple of issues, which are more painterly, and it's a nicer, softer feel for the kind of material we're doing.
Cool. Yeah. So for people who haven't read Torso Bit, I know we've talked about it previously. Did you want to just give us the little pitch? Tell us what it's about.
Okay, the little elevator pitch, the little pitch that could. It's basically True Detective meets Noddy, is how someone described the pitch of it.
That's good.
That it's a story of a classic noir story of crime and corruption, but in a fluffy kind of storybook toy environment. The challenge to write as an artist from the beginning was to try and see how hard boiled you could take crime without any sex, blood, or any outright kind of adult themes.
So heading down the whole sort of noir alleyway without actually having to like cut people's throats and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it encapsulated quite nicely in the first story you ever did for a Norwegian anthology, which was literally just a dismembered teddy. But you know, there's no blood or anything. It's just fluff everywhere.
To an extent. Fluff's equivalent of blood, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a story in the second issue where a criminal teddy is actually defluffed with a big hoover as a form of execution. So
that's similar to Vince, because Vince fell on the hoover once in embarrassing circumstances.
Oh, really? Really?
I
wouldn't want to empty that bag afterwards.
Okay, so that'll be your third issue.
We've had
a conversation about your approach towards Kickstarter, which I find interesting, because you're a great believer in paying people for working, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think because I've worked on them, and I know other people are around the Facebook indie book community have all at some point taken on comics jobs where the promise of exposure is kind of dangled out there.
Yeah. I think those days are going.
They are.
So, yeah.
I think people are finding, as you would do, that working for exposure only ever means you're working for that. If you start off by actually charging for services and making them appear like they're valuable by attaching value to them, then everybody gets ahead that way.
And I've always been a big conversation that's going on in the industry, isn't it? About the whole you pay for what you get worth, people using your work elsewhere, for example, is a big thing at the moment, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that goes right up to the very top, where Bill Finger's now being credited in Batman. So I watched Killing Joke the other day, and that's the only place where I've seen Bill Finger's name mentioned recently. Yeah. Loads of creators, when they come out with stuff in film, there seems to be legal wrangling always going on.
It does seem to be, doesn't it?
That shouldn't be a necessary conversation. Yeah. You go to anywhere else, like any other industry, where people who have come up with an invention, even if it's only they own part of those rights because they were part of the creative process, would have been credited or, you know, at least been part of the conversation and not have to be retroactively fitted back in.
I know. I agree with you completely. And your policy is almost from a grassroots point of view, from a, let's call it small press, indie press, what you want to call it, is to have a share in the profits, or will you pay to start with? What would be your...
We do pay a page rate to start with, the way it works out is that any kind of ownership rights over the character are jointly owned. So, for example, you don't want to single him out, maybe if he's listening, but Psydeath invented Snaplock, the character, of He-Man-esque type villain.
Yeah, like action figure type character.
Figure type character. So we jointly control those rights. So if he wants to make a deal to do with a character or produce any merchandise, he's more than capable of doing that of his own accord. And similarly, if I reach any deal with Torsa Bear, then he would be cut into that if it's using that character. So at least that is, it's not a conversation you have to have later on or go negotiate over. It's already explicitly been discussed.
It's a headache. People think, I'm the editor of a comic. It's easy. Just get a load of stories. But there are associated headaches, aren't there? There really are.
I mean, the anthology format I originally got into because the birth of my daughter had just occurred. And I wanted to make this new thing that I'd had an idea about, but I could only commit so much time to it. So how do you create a book or an ongoing series with only very constrained abilities to commit to? And that was part of the way of getting into anthologies. It's way more work than that initially sounds like. As anybody who's done kind of project management will know, there's a lot of chasing around, or if an artist drops out, then because of other commitments, you've got to kind of switch things around and chase your tail and stuff.
So from point one of thinking about Torso Bear to the end of an issue, how long is that process for you, would you say?
Well, taking the example of the last issue, Volume 2, we're probably talking from initial planning stages up until the final production is kind of like 9 months.
That's pretty good still.
It's still pretty good. You're not waiting. I was always very mindful of, you hear about a lot of Kickstarter projects that kind of like take a year or more to finally show themselves. Yeah, there are so many infamous examples of people just simply not delivering at all.
Yeah, so definitely.
Incredibly mindful.
Years go by, don't they?
You don't want to get to that sort of stage, particularly not some video games projects where it's like vaporware, thing never comes out or takes years to... So I didn't want to go down that route. I wanted to say, right, from the moment of funding, we've got these 2 months to get it, finally produced.
Of course, So what's the long eye? So you're about to kickstart the third issue.
Yep.
How much of that have you got done already?
I've got 10 pages fully inked. I know Kieran Squires has got kind of, there's going to be a segueing sort of narrative, a bit like the pirate story in Watchmen, in that segments of it go throughout the book. Yeah. That's already 26 pages penciled, and we've got sample pages, a couple here and there coming. We're trying to get as ahead of the game as we can on this one,
And then that launches next month?
Yeah, it's going to be next month,
And then after funding, what will be, so the third issue will come out, will you keep going with them, or what's the plan?
Well, I wanted to wrap up Ruxby Bear, the main character's story, with this third one, but the world itself has attracted so much interest from the creators especially, more so than the readership almost, that they want to keep doing stuff with it. Mick Schubert and Giles Crawford wanted to do more to do do with Play Storia's sort of jazz club area, the Song Bears Bar. They wanted to do an entirely music-themed, whether that ends up as a one-shot or a mini graphic novel, we'll see.
And that's pleased you, though, because you've kind of got a whole world now that people want to play with, don't they? You know, it's sort of... It's like the Marvel Universe, isn't it? People are now dipping into different areas of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
different
totally.
Different genres, even within your genre, isn't there? There's little different...
Oh, yeah, there's subsets of stuff. There's detective stories, the music-based stories, like I said, more action, war-based stuff, because, you know, war toys have been incorporated into some of the backstory. So it may end up that the sort of imprint that it's under ends up releasing all kinds of books, and I'll just have, like, an editorial input on it. But... it'd be nice to at least wrap up something, because I have a terrible penchant like Mark Miller for just starting things and then not finishing them.
I don't know. I think you're doing well. I think, I can see what you're saying around the Mark Miller. Let's open with a big concept and then it sort of trails off. But no, I wouldn't apply that to you in any sense.
Oh, right. That's kind of
where can people buy it who are listening?
If you go to torsobear.com or...
Fucking hell.
I could almost feel him. I could almost feel him sizing up. Torsobear.com, or if you just search on Google for Torsobear, keep the words together as one word. Don't Google me. Don't separate the words out. Guys on another podcast in the States found that out for much of their chagrin. Or you'll be able to get it soon through Source Point Press in the States and Australia. They said they're going to try and get it in those areas.
Oh, brilliant.
Dead Universe Comics in Aylesbury are carrying it, as do, I think it might be... If it's not Gosh, who's the other?
Orbital.
Orbital carry a few issues.
Yeah, we would recommend people go to Orbital. Do you know what about Travelling Man? Have you not got into there?
No, we were talking to Travelling Man at some point, but the conversation tailed off. I can't remember exactly why that is.
Exactly.
A lot of balls juggling, and I think they're busy, I've been busy. I just need to kind of get back in touch with them.
Fucking... How do you work with Scrivens? Even with his back to me, he's
actually,
he's not even looking at me, he's doing waiting.
No, I honestly have to say that in our tightest moments where we've needed to get stuff out to press, and
not
it's
even
been...
that, he's giggling at
Yeah. people like John and Renzo Rodriguez as well have pulled our backsides out of the fire getting to press, because although John might be a bouncing puppy of a man, he works hard. He does work bloody hard, and he's saved the book, actually, the both years that
don't
it's come out. And
I don't like to give the any credit at all. He's more sort of an enforcer for you, isn't he?
Yeah. He's the whip. It's like the thick of it. Except instead of swearing, it's Haribo. Wine gums. It's grown up.
Careful with
it. It's matured.
Thanks, dude. That's really cool of you, mate. Really enjoying the book. Looking forward to the next book.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Unbelievable. I'm professional already.
I know. There's a reason this is small press. So we're not
why are we not making the impact?
I'm not a massive self-publicist, but I'll give it a go.
We have to be. I'm talking to you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, what, this is happening right now?
Well, I've started. But I'll probably edit this bit out.
Okay, good.
I'm here with Owen Watts. It's already gone. I'm here with Owen Watts of the Psychedelic
Journal of Time Travel.
It's always the journal bit that I always lose. I know it's psychedelic and it's time travel.
It's a big word, and then after that you get lost.
Yeah. Too many syllables.
The quagmire.
Yeah. You've probably seen them on the small press circuit. How's your day going?
Oh, it's pretty wonderful. It's nice to have a Bristol convention back. I don't think we had one last year. And so it's really nice to be in your hometown doing a convention.
Because you are fairly local, aren't you?
I'm as local as one can get.
One
can get. There is cider in my blood, sir. It's a serious medical condition.
Yeah.
No. I've got rats now, and one of them licked me yesterday, and it got drunk. Presumably, I'm just exuding it. It fell over.
Are you part scrumpy? Is that what we're saying?
I am. I think, yeah. I always say that I fell into a vat like Obelix, and so I'm just immune to the effects of it, because I just am always...
Oh, amazing. That probably explains the book. So yeah. For those that don't know much about the Psychedelic Journal of Time Travel, eh?
Yes, good.
What basically is it?
Well, it's a journal.
Is it psychedelic?
It is. We'll lead you through it. It does what it says on the tin, really. It's an anthology. We normally have about 15 different stories an issue, so around 30 creators, because we get scripts. We have open submissions policy. We're themed, so the next issue actually isn't time travel. It's going to be the Wild West, and then next year we're doing wizardry. So we kind of, they're all self-contained stories. Imagine Future Shocks from 2000 AD. So a self-contained narrative, really, and they're all psychedelic. And it was started by me and my partner the other year, and me and Lady Jeffrey edit it. So we get scripts, we edit them, we then find an artist, and we get going.
How is the editing process? Is that quite a difficult thing to go through?
No, I mean it's a question of, you get the scripts in cold. Sometimes the people that send us the scripts have never done a comic script before, and so it's kind of guiding them through the process of what to write and how to write it and things like that. And it can be incredibly rewarding. It can be quite difficult. But mostly, it's fantastic. You know, yeah. In the sense of.
And the books are great. Yeah,
well, thank you. well, thank you very much.
That's the reason I'm talking to you.
But we always try. I think the difference about our editing process as compared to, I think, a lot of other anthologies is that we do try quite hard to give feedback. So we'll never reject anyone without telling them why, if you see what I mean. Yeah. And we try and be constructive with people.
Do you find that some people handle that badly?
On the whole, no. I mean, people are actually...
Some people can have very thin skin, don't they, when it comes to criticism.
They can do, but honestly, if you're at this stage of the comics game, yeah. As in the game that is comics, if you're at this stage of it and you can't take any form of criticism of your work, then...
You just shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately, because it's, you know, the best writers that we've worked with, they're completely up for it. Mm. You know, they write like... It just comes off them, and they're right, and they'll do something, and it's brilliant. You'll go, could you possibly change this or change that or alter that? And they go, yep, done. And do you know what I mean? And they'll just come back, and that's a sign that if you can work with someone, and because
it's a collaboration, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a collaborative process, and you collaborate with everyone from the writer to the artist to the letterer. Every single bit of the comic is collaborative, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's a dialogue going on between everyone involved. And ultimately, the more that the better that the stronger that is, the better the final stories are. And I hope that we've got something that's consistently good, yeah. You know, ultimately, because we put in a lot to it. You know?
Yeah. So how many issues have you got so far?
We've done 6 Psychedelic Journals of Time Travel, and that started in 2013. So we did 2 in 2013, 2 in 2014, 2 in 2015, and then this year. We are yet to release the Wild West, but we've been doing that for the last year. It's now in the final stages. We've got most of the art for it.
So do you have a plan to launch that?
It'll be out of Thought Bubble. So it was initially planned to be here, but we wanted further time to finish it off. Because now we're just doing one theme a year from now on. We wanted to get it absolutely right, you know. And then from next year, I think that will just be our plan. And I think also we'd like the Psychedelic Journal to become a bit of a banner for other work. So Lady Jeffrey, the co-editor, and myself are going to do probably comics together, collaborative comics, and under the Psychedelic Journal name, but single narrative maybe, because we wanted
lots of plans for the future then.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. There's continuing.
Yeah,
you know.
So where can you get your book at the moment? Is it just at conventions, or do you?
No, we sell it online. comicsy.com/crazyfoxmachine. That's where you can get
Crazy Fox Machine.
Yes. That's probably not. I'm probably going to have to change that.
It's quite memorable.
Yeah, I once met this man in a pub, and I had business cards that said Crazy Fox Machine on them because that used to be my avatar. Because I thought that was it was a band name originally,
yeah.
And then it just became
it was the coolest thing in the world.
I thought it was great, and the guy was like, the thing about you, right, is you're not a fox, you're not a machine, and you don't seem very crazy to me. And after that, I was like, I'm probably going to start using that less.
So, but that's quite easy to search for. And what, yes. What shows have you got coming up? Because you're obviously going to be at Thought Bubble, but anything else?
Just this year, I think we're just going to do Thought Bubble, and next, I think in the next 2 weeks, possibly next weekend, there's a small convention in Froome. So we're keeping it local.
Yeah.
You know, we
it's
travel
more, it's
by.
More time for cider drinking.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's more of a perpetual thing.
Yeah.
It's more of a constant, you know.
So there you go. That was Owen Watts, aka Scrumpy Jack, signing off.
Crazy scrumpy machine.
crazy scrumpy fox machine.
Just put that into Tinder. It does come up.
Oh God.
I'm here with Danny Abrams. I always have to say your name like that because in my head I go Danai Abram. So when I'm introducing you, I have to say, always take a breath. Danny Abram. Hi, Danny.
Hi. I always say my name, first name, last name as well, though. I always say, hi, I'm Danny Abrams. Like, yeah. I can't be just Danny. No. I'm always Danny Abram. My fellow calls me Danny Abram. Honest. I don't know why. I think it's because I'm important and I think my surname has to be in there.
It's good branding. Everywhere you go, Danny Abram. T-shirts, we need T-shirts.
I think because there's loads of Dannys
yes.
out there. So
a million
Danny,
as
Danny
well.
Abram, yeah. Hi, I'm Danny Abram.
Hi.
Anyway,
hi, Danny Abram.
Hi, Emily.
We're at Bristol Expo, obviously, and what are you selling today?
It's a bit last minute, actually, but I've brought along my comic that I made myself called Worrywart, and I'm an artist on a comic that Ian Matthews writes called Razorhawk. So I've got Razorhawk issues 1 and 2 and my full volume of Worrywart.
So tell us about... We'll start with Razorhawk. What's Razorhawk about?
Razorhawk is like a sci-fi action adventure with the main character. Kitty Hawk is a pilot who has to save the city from an enormous monstrous threat, basically. Like, it's only a little two-parter, and the story wraps up as well, but that's it in a nutshell. It's kind
that's
of just
cool.
Yeah, it's just like me and Ian really love, like, the old Japanese, like, monster versus monster in city kind of thing. So it's a big giant, like, she flies like a huge high-tech spacecraft that transforms into a giant robot and fights a huge monster.
So it's got spacecraft, robots, monsters, and girls kicking ass.
Yeah. And she's gay, which I love. Sorry, spoilers, but like that doesn't get picked up on enough. Like, I don't think anyone has really reviewed Razorhawk. I think there's been a couple of blogs pick up the first issue, but like that's my favourite bit, is the fact that she's gay and no one talks about it. She's gay, she's got a girlfriend.
You should write your own review of your own comic.
Just start at the end.
And Worrywart, which is an amazing little book. It's one of my favourites out there. And there's a personal story behind it as well. So tell us about Worrywart.
Well, Worrywart is my diary comic about my journey through anxiety, if you don't know what it is. Like, I was told by a doctor really early on to keep a mood diary, but I can't write, so I just drew what was happening to me instead. And I started serialising it on my blog in fits and starts. Like, there's no structure to it whatsoever because there's no structure to mental health.
Yeah.
And I just like would bombard my blog with some pictures about what was happening, what makes me panic and stuff. And it eventually, it got a little following, and I collected it into a book a couple of years ago. It's a really long time ago now, which is amazing. Like, people who've read Worrywart are really surprised when they meet me because I'm quite gobby and out, like, I'd say pretty outgoing, even though I think I'm an introvert.
You've met me, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it just charts my journey through the first stages of finding out what generalized anxiety disorder is, what I did. I went through CBT, I went through hypnotherapy. I've done everything, pills, counseling, you name it. I've done it all, and I drew about it in Worrywart. And it's kind of I feel like it's ongoing because anxiety is ongoing.
Yeah.
And I hate that the book can only be one book. I hate that it's like, you know, it has a final page where anxiety doesn't have a final page. But yeah, that's what I brought to the comic. It's done really well. My first print run sold out in like 2 weeks, which I was really excited about. Really excited about. Cause like,
you mean I've got a first edition?
Yeah.
Wicked.
And then like this, and so like I'm just sort of, I'm not very good at promoting it. I'm not very good at taking it to cons. So I just every now and again I pop up at a little local show that has like an onus on small press with a few books, and people rediscover it, which is really lovely.
Yeah, I picked it up at the Cardiff Con the first weekend you had it on sale.
Oh,
and I took it back to the table and I had a little cry reading it behind my table. I was like, this is how I feel. So it's like, it was, that's, I really connected with it. It's a really great book and beautifully illustrated. I mean, that's not just,
very simply, it's not really a comic, is it? It's more like a journey. There's no panels really in the pages.
It's not. Well, it is sequential, but it's not. Yeah. It's not a structured sequential.
It's sort of like sort of a. Oh, I don't want to say the word exploration because that's really arty, but it's more of an exploration.
Yeah, an illustrated journal, I suppose. Yeah. And yeah, and I've recommended it to people who've suffered because. Let's get it straight. When you're suffering from anxiety or depression, reading a book with loads of words in it is too much for your little addled brain to cope with. But when you've got pictures of a journey that you can relate to, it's top notch.
Oh, that means a lot to me because I'm an animator.
Yeah.
And I just speak and think and hear in pictures.
Yeah.
And I think that you just said that, like maybe sometimes there's too many words. Yeah. I love that idea. I think like you can communicate a really hard hitting message or like feeling like anxiety through like silly tunes. I love
Absolutely.
That because you can relate to like your childhood's Saturday morning cartoon kind of vibe. Ah, that means
so
much.
It simplifies so cool. a lot of words. But it's the whole thing of a picture speaks 1,000 words, isn't it? You know, so you can get 1,000 words in a picture that gets a message across, and just one simple pencil line just can speak volumes.
Amazing.
It's one of my favourites. I often will flick through it. And what are you working on anything at the moment, or are you concentrating more on the animation?
Yeah, I don't like this question at Comic Cons or like on I feel like a fraud on a comics podcast because I don't really make comics anymore. But what I'm working on at the minute, what I'm obsessed with, is the. It actually started out as a comic, so I might take that back. A comic series that I just put on my blog called Squishy Head was about a weird kid in school. She's like an alien and a zombie and a murdered child and a ghost all rolled into one. She's like the stuff of nightmares personified is how I would describe her. And she starts UK primary school and it's going to be an animated series. So I'm currently working on the pilot for that, which is really exciting. And I want to just serialise that and put that out because I'm an animator. And I always saw these comic books moving. I can't still them anymore. Yeah. Like, it sounds really arsy, but I just want to. I've always. My day job is animation, and I'm really, really lucky that I get to scratch that itch all day long.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to make my own stuff as well. The comics sort of set that off in me and gave me like some power that, yeah, cool, I can do this, I can start something and then finish it. So I'm really excited to now put that into like what I really want to do, which is animation. So I'm working on a web series based on the comic Squishy Head and a million other things as well. Like I get distracted very easily. I've made a couple of films this year. I make GIFs all the time.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
know
why
if you've
the GIFs are good. If you get distracted, you can do a GIF.
I can shit a GIF out in a weekend. Like,
exactly.
People can just see what I'm... I can make a gag in motion quicker than I can make a gag in writing or in panels. So, yeah, I really, really enjoy it. I think more GIFs.
GIFs in the future.
I made a GIF of Red Mask from Mars, actually, which Vince absolutely loved. Did you see that?
I don't think I've seen it.
For the small press day, I thought, like, what can I do and put online? Because I wasn't really going to a comic book shop to do any, like, sign-ins or whatever.
I was camping with no Wi-Fi, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't have seen it. I would have missed everything.
Oh, it was so much fun. Well, I made a few GIFs actually of like some of my favourite like small press comic book characters. So one of them was like the Red Mask from Mars. Was like, do you know when you like when you're a kid and you read comics and you've got your like you're on your belly and the comics in front of you and you've got your legs in the air and you're swinging your feet and like Red Mask is reading Loose Cannon. So I did a GIF of that, and then there was a Flimsy the cat. Do you know Flimsy from Rachel Smith? I did a GIF of.
She's got the badges out at the moment. They're dead cute.
Did you get one?
No, I haven't got one.
I swear to God, she posted that picture and I was like, I'm going to be the first. I'm going to be the first one to buy this. One. Bye. So I'm so happy to have got mine. I'm not wearing it today because I'm dressed as Supergirl, but
literally dressed as Supergirl.
But I did animate Flimsy for it, and it's I love loopable GIFs as well. GIFs that like the gag is in the repetitive.
Yes.
Yeah. So like Flimsy's filling a glass with wine and then drinking it and then filling it. And I love that because that's perfect for Flimsy. So I did that as well for Small Press Day. And a few other bits and bobs, like quite a few of the comic book dudes that we know, just because I know them as well, like they'll end up in GIFs. They have to.
And where can everybody find you on social media with all your GIFs and pics?
I feel like you can't move on social media without bumping into me at some point. Like I'm always online. At Bintikins on Twitter, you can always find me on there. My website is dannyabram.co.uk. Facebook, Instagram, you name it, I'm on it. Like, just
to pick one and link in from there, basically.
Yeah. Twitter, I think, is probably
Twitter, yeah, I've, Twitter's my favourite as well.
Because that's, like, where I go to be a nerd.
And it's immediate, and it's quick, and short. Yeah. Which
and that's where, I, like, the GIFs work perfect on Twitter, because they're perfect. So shareable, and, and they have a really good, like, upload and autoplay and auto loop and stuff. Yeah, I love Twitter. I met you on Twitter. I met everyone on Twitter.
Yeah,
stalk you on Twitter.
And now we all live near each other.
I'm glad we still just talk
it's
on Twitter.
Not weird at all. Thanks, Danny. Thanks for sharing all that wonderfulness with us. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Well, I'm recording now. Just so hopefully that'll curb you being a maniac. Yeah. Okay, I'm here with John Scrivens. John, so you do a lot of conventions, don't you, dude?
Too many.
Do you do too many? Yeah. So how do you how are you finding today, firstly, Bristol?
It's a little quiet, but it's nice because it is a show just about comics. There isn't soap actors and Star Wars extras cramming up the hall, so it's quite nice.
You and I occasionally swap Facebook messages about that, don't we?
No comment.
So what have you been doing recently, mate? What have you
I've been... Actually, the last thing I did was I was relettering some old 1930s Mandrake the Magician strips for Titan, actually.
Oh, wow, okay.
So that's been quite interesting.
So has Mandrake gone back to another company? Because it was at Dynamite for a while.
I think they're doing the ongoing stuff, but this is a collection of all the old newspaper strips. So I think it was from 1933 to 36. So it's very dated stuff, but it was very interesting to look at.
Yeah,
it's quite chauvinistic, a bit racist, because his assistant sidekick bloke is literally speaks in broken English.
Right,
and it's all just the muscle, and it was interesting to do, and I learnt a lot from it because it was quite challenging because I had to fit it into the speech bubbles of the strips. But
did you have to make it like appropriate to the time it came out, so you couldn't have like a flashy
well they gave me a specific font to use. So all I was doing was inputting essentially, but making it fit. So it was good enough to print, because obviously the quality I think on some of the strips wasn't there for the lettering,
which was interesting. So that's really interesting.
That was
who's the artist on that?
Phil something or other. I'm really bad with names.
We'll find out.
It's really nice artwork.
Cool.
For its time, anyway. So.
That's good, mate. So I'm right in saying that you do colouring. You obviously do lettering for mainstream comics, but you also produce your own books as well.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
So what are you producing at the moment? What,
I'm working on the next volume of Little Terrors. So it's going to be a 3-part story.
Okay.
Sort of story arc. We're doing them as sort of an arc, then doing a trade, then going on to the next one. So I'm just started penciling that this week, actually. So.
Okay. And you put a trade out start of the year, I'm going to say, was it?
End of last year, but
yeah.
It was the first 3 issues plus an Origins issue remastered into one nice trade paperback.
And so how's that doing for you?
It's been doing really well, actually. So people have really received the book quite well.
Cool.
So just can't sell enough of them. I've got a cupboard full of them.
Everyone's got a spare room for the comics. Okay, so what other books are you working on? So you do stuff for Brett, don't
you? So the next volume of Torso Bear, I'm doing some colouring and lettering on that. This time I'm not doing a story at all.
Okay.
I didn't really have an idea for one, so rather than just kind of fudging
one.
I'm just going to...
And you did some colouring for Marvel, didn't you, for a while?
I did some flatting for Mitch...
Gerards.
Never get his surname
I'm never
right.
sure. Punisher Run, is it? The Punisher?
Yeah, so I helped a bit on the Punisher Run. And a little bit on the activity, but currently I've been helping him a bit on Sheriff. So
when his other flat
has been struggling,
I must get that trade because it looks
it's
beautiful.
Very good stuff. So he's upped his game. So.
And it's who's the writer? King.
Tom King.
Tom King. He was actually a CIA agent himself, wasn't he?
Yeah. So all of the scripts actually have to get cleared by the CIA.
No, it's incredible,
which
isn't
it? It makes me feel really special. Like I'm working on something cutting edge. But, it's good fun. I've learnt a lot from doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and that's really good for you, mate. Yeah, and I'm really pleased. What else have you got coming out? So we're doing the Little Terrors. Anything else you want to talk about?
The next issue of Toots Malloy. Matt should be inking and penciling that soon because the script's near enough done, I believe. So I'll be colouring and lettering that. So.
And that's written by the guy...
Pat Klein.
Who's from Dead Universe, isn't he?
Yes, he co-writes Little Terrors with me. Well, he writes it and we do the story together now.
So he sort of, you got him on board after a few issues with Little Terrors.
Yeah, because I knew that writing isn't necessarily my forte from the script standpoint. But I've got the ideas, but it's just kind of translating that. So rather than trying to fudge
he's
it
like
along.
He's like your typewriter monkey.
Exactly. He uses some classy words. Gives me more time to focus on the art, which is what my passion really is.
I would say I would love, especially some of your colouring work recently. I know we talked about it a year ago. Really, really superb. I think you did a fire effect in Little Terrors, didn't you? Was it Little Terrors?
And I remember mentioning to you, you had that.
Oh, yes, for the Halloween special.
Yeah, you had like the the campfire. Yes. Effect. Very nice, really good. Yeah, yeah.
I haven't done any Little Terror since then, that's the worst part. Okay. It's taken me a long time to get to it, but yeah. It's been paid work and collaborating on other stuff, which is good, but just need to get back on it. So,
where can people find your work?
LittleTerrorsComic.com. Yeah. And my website also is johnscrivens.com. And
it's John S-C-R-I-V-E-N-S.
Without a H as well.
Right, cool.
So, nice. Just to be difficult.
Strangely, you were actually quite normal during that interview, John. Thanks
I know.
For that. Normally, you just sort of throw
I can
things
be quite
at
sensitive. Yeah. Well, we're not in a pub as well. Normally, we're in a pub. I just have to make you feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Nice one, mate. Really cool. Thank you, mate. Cheers.
This is an otherworldly interview, as I'm speaking with Faye of the Foldings.
It's nice to be here on this earthly plane. I'm glad I could come by today.
You're here, I mean, jokes aside, you're here with your book, The Foldings.
Woohoo!
Yes. We've actually met before because Sarah Milman, a.k.a. Milmo, introduces us to Thought Bubble. And The Foldings is amazing, but for those who don't know about it, what exactly is The Foldings?
It's a steampunk magic world, and basically it's a world entirely based on magic. The very first book deals with the one guy in the world who can't do any magic. So you sort of get this wonderful, it's half a superpower, half a disability thing going on. But each book follows a different character, so it's mainly about the world. The world of the Foldings.
You've practiced that. That sounds quite good. How many times have you had to say that?
That's actually, I think it's the only time I've managed to get through the whole thing without someone wandering off halfway through and looking terribly bored.
So is it a straighter sort of sequential story, or is it, there's prose as well in this?
It's actually, we want to follow different characters, so we're going to try and do each book as a standalone, and then some of them will have prose stories so we can get a bit more story in for your money, and some of them are more visual. So.
Is that prose with like illustrations?
Yeah, of course. You couldn't leave those out. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's go.
who wants to read words? They're rubbish.
Also, you find really impressive dramatic angles are the only way to get anybody to buy anything. So yeah. I think it's mainly a sales pitch there.
So you had a really successful Kickstarter, didn't you?
Woohoo!
How have you found sort of delivering on all the things?
Well, it's actually not the first Kickstarter we did. We've done a few fan books, and one of them did insanely well and was so incredibly complicated to ship out. So this one was a lot smaller.
What was complicated?
Well, we did one which was 2,000 books to everywhere in the world. We had it shipping out from two locations. Half of the addresses were in Chinese, which the post office wouldn't take. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. It took us a really long time to get the whole thing sorted. So this one's a lot simpler. The thing slowing us down is I've done a load of stretch goals, which then I found out I have to actually make and do.
See, this is an interesting thing, because like, we know a lot of people that do the Kickstarters, and stretch goals are obviously fantastic.
Yeah, I love them, but...
But you are making a rod for your own back, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, none of the Kickstarter money went into paying us. So the unfortunate side effect is I also have to go and earn money in between getting this beautiful Kickstarter made.
So the stretch goals, is that like just original artwork and things like that?
Yeah, well,
things that you have to create new, as it were.
The prose story we're currently working on was one of the stretch goals. And we were like, prose story, no problem, get it done. But we had sort of a 3,000 word slot. And the writer who was writing it turned in a 15,000-word story.
That sounds like a writer.
So we've been cutting that down, which surprisingly took more time than writing it in the first place. So mainly been doing that at the moment.
Nice.
But it should get shipped out in September. Like, we're so close.
And
so
I was saying, like, the book that you have, it isn't just a book. You also have, like, pins and, like, all kinds of things. Like, isn't there, like, a passport or wallet sort of case?
Yeah, I actually didn't. None of that was even the Kickstarter. I just really love making things. I just got really distracted.
Including tea. Bags of tea.
Yes.
Now, do you want to go on record and say that this you were doing it before Sarah Millman?
I was in fact doing it before Sarah Millman. So Sarah Millman bribed me by giving me a cup of tea and saying, I nicked this off you.
We're both going to get bullied for this.
I know, it's beautiful. She'll find me next time and be like, I heard that, and never hang out again.
It is fantastic. And I must say, the aroma of the tea on
offer. It's good, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
It's beautiful.
It got you funny looks on the train.
It does. I actually put it all into the tiny baggies myself, which are drug baggies that you can buy off eBay that come with little hash symbols on them, just so that you can be really sure.
So you have to take the hash symbols off and then just
beautiful.
Fill them
with tea.
But does the tea have anything to do with the story itself?
No, it's just a really nice cup of tea. Why do you read it? The smell is just bringing people in.
Oh, nice.
It's all about the marketing.
Nice. You're just all about, you're a pro at this, aren't you?
I just really want people to buy the thing.
How long have you had this story in your head for? Is it something that's been gestating for a long time before you actually...
Yeah, we wrote a lot of different bits of the story over
about
2 years.
Have we said the collaborator?
Oh, yeah. Joanne Dominique, she's in America, so she writes with me. Like, we write different stories. She's actually written a huge, long prequel, which is online. So if you want to find out everything that happens up to where the comic is, you can go online and read that for free.
And where can you find that?
Thefoldings.co.uk has a link to it.
Touche.
Not that good. It's actually on AO3, which is the fan fiction site, because they have a really nice way of laying out their readings.
Really?
So I was like, let's pop it up on the fan fiction site and have them
deal
with all the awkwardness.
Nice. So now that you've released it, how has the reception been so
amazing.
Far?
Amazing. Oh, yeah. My God. Like,
did it do well at MCM?
Yeah, it sold out at MCM, which was amazing because I literally finished it the Sunday night before, sent it to Rich and been like, Rich, help! Oh my God, get it to me. And he did. And it was,
this is
yeah.
Rich of Comics Printing
yeah.
UK.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
What a guy.
What a guy.
He got it done. It was amazing. Yeah. I didn't expect it at all.
And you sold out at MCM.
Yeah. And it was like amazing. Because I know small press is like, it can be tricky. You're like, please take this away
from
me.
Yeah, sometimes you think you can do better than other times. And yeah.
But I think all that extra time spent making it really shiny and extra sparkly kind of helped.
You're presenting like a product, aren't you? Like, and you're not just putting anything out, you're doing tea bags, for God's sake.
Yeah, like I tried to make it really nice because I think if you're not dealing with a publisher and you don't really have any marketing except yourself, like, make it beautiful, you know?
But also, I mean, you've got all these added bits, but the book is the primary, that's the best thing.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's definitely a professional looking book, isn't it?
I really want people to get, like, if they get into the world and into the characters, I have 400,000 more stories to tell them. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's good.
I want people to be willing to follow me into the madness. Because I mean,
you're,
I don't know.
You were about to say until they die.
Because basically, if you're not sure when the next book is going to be, you want people to love them enough that they'll put up with the fact that it might be 2 years' time.
Well, exactly. A small press takes a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
so yeah.
But I think it's definitely going to grow. It's a quality book.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
There you go. So where can people go to find out more? You briefly said it, but where can they?
Thefoldings.co.uk.
Thefoldings.co.uk.
And don't type in foldings.co.uk because I keep doing that accidentally myself. And
it's your own project, and you can't remember the name.
Would have been nice to get both, but someone else unfortunately has the other.
And where can they follow you on Twitter?
I'm at MDDoodles.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Normal. As in, like, doctor, sort of, but yeah, whatever.
Are you actually a doctor?
No. I'm a doctor of doodles.
A doctor of
I drew
doodles.
A doctorate once.
From another realm.
And gave it to myself.
A PhD in talking nonsense. Brilliant.
Quality.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Star Trek sex toy.
Yeah, I'm here with Dave Broughton.
He's not a Star Trek. He's not a Star Trek sex toy.
Are we recording at the moment?
Yeah, no.
Oh, blimey.
Right, we'll start again.
Don't say any words like anal or anything like that.
No, don't say anal.
No.
Or bumhole.
Don't use Vince's name in that sentence either.
Yeah. How did the day go for you, Dave?
Really good, actually. Thanks, Tone. I made a profit.
Oh, good man.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a large profit, but in the small press business, any profit is a profit.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a large profit in small press, is there?
I'll flash my wad at you.
Hey.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
look at that.
Yeah, yeah. 20s. There's another one. Just big. There's an even bigger one in the back of the car there. Yeah.
He's making it rain. He's like Scarface.
Yeah. So do you find people come back for a? So they'll have bought one at a convention, bought two at a convention, then they'll come back for three or?
Some. Yeah. Some of the people, there was actually a couple of new people that saw me on Facebook on Mike's page for the expo, so definitely really helps if you sort of basically make yourself known. I mean, I've had other people like Mike, the organisers, actually say they don't know why people don't post more on the pages.
Okay.
You know, so if you're a small presser, make use of it.
Yeah, you were a big fan, you're a big poster on the 2000 AD forums as well, aren't you?
Yeah, occasionally. I've sort of like, not so much this year, but I do use it. So again, you know, like if you're posting, if you're doing anything that you think that the 2000 AD fans might like, give it a go. They're not always the most vocal. They tend to like to stick to their 2000 AD stuff a lot more, but they definitely have a look at it, and I've definitely had fans from the 2008 forum.
So we're definitely getting a four?
Definitely. There'll be one out next year, and I'm working on a new title. as well, which I might have mentioned, which is the superhero one.
Yeah.
Never done superhero stuff before, so I'm
looking. You sent me the page, didn't you? Look lovely. Yeah, really good. Yeah. Am I allowed to say that? Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. Yeah. Anal. Yeah. That's not his name.
Yeah. You mean it's annual?
That's exactly what I meant, Tony. It's been a long day. I've been up since 4:15.
Yeah, I've been up since early.
It's a superhero annual.
Yeah, you've got to make sure. Yeah.
Not a
really?
Super.
You're not a superhero. Does that mean bumhole?
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
That's all right. You're welcome, Tony.
Yours sound really good.
Mine sound really good. It's because I'm professional.
What? I proposed to a lady in the middle of an interview, and it was your one as well.
Yeah,
that was good. It went all right, I think.
You've been mistaken for a Welshman.
That woman didn't like me because I said I didn't like Welsh people. I do actually like them.
You like Welsh people.
I do, like them. Some of them.
Then why did you talk to an Irish person and said they're from Australia?
And we've interviewed two Irish people today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's diversity.
I lost my voice.
You did, yeah.
Literally, whilst trying to sell to someone.
Oh, I sold something while you were away again.
Oh, it always happens. I find I sell more comics when I'm not
you
at my
table. You've got the friendly face of the podcast selling for you.
Yeah.
Me.
Dan's not here. Anyway, folks,
it's been quite good, actually. It's the
Yeah, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, Tony. Yeah. And we've had a lot of fun today.
We have, and we bought a lot as well, actually. Look,
yeah.
The microphone is actually sitting on my huge pile of comics that I bought.
It is. I'm looking at Lois Lane.
Superman's girlfriend,
Lois Lane.
That? Number 90, is it?
Yeah. And it says, Lois Lane used to be Superman's girlfriend. How could she fall in love with that monstrosity?
Yeah.
So.
Written about me.
It was, wasn't it?
I am Lois Lane in that story.
Oh dear. As you can tell, folks, it's been a long day. We're tired.
It's been good though.
It's been a really cracking day, actually. Yeah. It's been
blue beer have been sort of reasonable, haven't they, I suppose.
Good atmosphere. Bearable. Well, obviously, as you know, we spoke to some great creators.
Yeah. And that bloke from Elbow Media, who put a thing on my back that said kick me. He thinks I don't know it's him.
Yeah. As always, we're making friends and influencing people wherever we go.
We've got some upcoming guests we've booked as well, haven't
we? Yes,
good.
We've got some future upcoming guests, which is going to be brilliant.
Yep.
So thank you very much for listening to this special, folks. We're all off to get pints of Horlicks. And
we're going to the Wetherspoons.
We're going to...
Are you going to have something to eat in the Wetherspoons? I haven't eaten all day. You had some popcorn.
I had a small bucket of popcorn and some leftover Domino's pizza.
Oh, you did, didn't you?
Yeah. It's because I planned, Tony.
You do.
Yeah.
What kind of pizza was it?
It was a meteor.
Oh, right. A meteor?
Meteor, yeah. It's obviously
that sounds brilliant.
It is. It's got meat on it. You wouldn't like it.
No, I don't like meat.
You don't like meat?
No.
There's so many jokes I could say, but it's been a long day. But thank you very much for listening to the special. Hope you enjoy it. There's plenty more cool stuff to come.
Yeah.
It is recording, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, it is. This is the third member of the podcast speaking, the forgotten member.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dan has been missed today.
We missed you, Dan.
We have missed you.
He just texted me, actually. I think he's had his eyebrows trimmed today, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah, he put something on Facebook about getting his eyebrows.
Collars and cuffs, and cuffs.
Yeah, he loves match.
He is. He is the face of the podcast, which is an audio medium.
Although I've put pictures of your face out on Facebook today.
I know. There seems to be
a lot of hits, a lot of favourites.
There's my face does get a lot of hits. but we'll have another special coming up. We've got some more shows in the pipeline.
See you when you get to the pub.
No, mate, I'm
going to
have...
All right, good. I'll see you next one then. Yeah, nice one. See you soon, mate. Take care.
See how professional we are, folks. I was halfway through a beautiful spiel then. And
I didn't want him to stand there waiting, I felt bad.
Well, sometimes people have got to wait. And thank you for listening to this show, folks. And as always, stay fruity.
What do I say?
Just
say sexy.
Say something sexy.
Daniel Butcher.
Daniel Butcher. Oh, it doesn't get sexier than that. Peace out, bitches.